Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Thing I Love Most show with myself, Noel Valbon, joining you from Spain this week. So apologies for the internet speed. It might not be amazing. And also the fact I look like I'm in a very dark room. This is because I tried to go out on the terrace, but they're installing solar panels on the roof. And there's a wind chime that you still might be able to hear. So it just wasn't ideal. But back in the UK, I have Kurt and Kofi ready to crack on with the show. Lads, how are we doing today?
Yeah, very well, mate. Very well.
Top stuff. Okay, so as you know, and regular listeners will know, and new listeners will learn, that each week we have an opinion from a opposition fan. And last week we had Dave, who was the host of the Talking Wolves award-winning podcast. And firstly, before we get into the game, let's take a look at what Dave had to say about Saturday's win.
Hi guys, it's Dave from Talking Wolves. Give you my quick thoughts following Spurs' win over Wolves over the weekend. It was an interesting team for Wolves because I think I said on the podcast last week, I was quite intrigued to see how Wolves would approach the game. We got some new signings in before the match and they started in Mateus Nunes, and it was a really good looking Wolves side. Probably on paper, one of the strongest Wolves 11s and strongest Wolves squads in total, including our bench, since we've been back in the Premier League. First half, we were really good. We made life extremely difficult for Spurs. I think everyone could see that how Wolves were playing, which is good because, you know, that way you can actually take positives out of the game, despite us obviously losing the match as well. But yeah, we looked really good first half. I thought, you know, after your game against Chelsea last weekend, I thought that it's going to be really tough. Conte is going to get a really big reaction out of Spurs. And I thought we made life really difficult for you. It was really interesting how Pedro Neto, our attacking winger, was dropping back to almost become a wing back to cover the runs of Perisic. I thought we restricted him quite well. But, you know, with all our chances, I think we had 20 shots overall, none of which really threatened Hugo Lloris a huge amount. You know, against teams like yourselves or anyone in and around the top four, top six, that you only need one opportunity. And when you give players like Harry Kane any sort of space within 12 yards, he's going to put it away. And that's what happened. Our only sort of big mistake of the game, really, it came from the corner. I think Nathan Collins, the centre-back, was expecting the man at the near post to get rid of it. And he didn't. He left Harry Kane. And it was just an easy finish for Kane in the end. And yeah, I think you boys were able to sit on that and, you know, see out the victory. It's frustrating from our point of view because we had, you know, plenty of positives to take from it. But we're still searching for our first win. Hopefully we could take the good moments out of that game and push on now. We play Newcastle United on the weekend. Another tough game, but fingers crossed we can get 3 points. Thanks for having me on, guys. Best of luck for the rest of the season. Obviously, apart from when you come to Molineux. I'll see you soon.
Thank you very much, Dave, for that. A very good assessment, actually. I agree with what we said. I think it's, I mean, from a Spurs point of view, again, very frustrating game, I found. I mean, obviously, we managed to get the win and, you know, we look better second half. But still, that first half, Wolves should have been ahead. Like, you know, that was obvious for everyone to see. They were dominating the game. And with better finishing, they could have and they should have. So let's just start with that. I think let's start at the beginning in terms of that first half performance. Obviously, the changes that were made was Perisic for Sessegnon. I thought he did well, Perisic. I think he got man of the match in a few people's opinions. But I still think he didn't really do enough in that first half. I thought Emerson, again, did okay. We were talking about, obviously, on our WhatsApp and, you know, did okay. Did he do enough? I don't know. I think the frustration with Royale, and it must be frustrating for him, is the fact that he does get himself in those situations, and he did a couple of times and he did win a corner, but it's the final ball. That's what we need. We need an end product from our wingbacks, and Perisic showed that can be possible. So I think, yeah, fingers crossed it will improve, or fingers crossed Jed Spence does get an opportunity. So let's start with that first half, Lee. Were you frustrated and were you surprised at how we played and how Wolves played? Because they seem to be dictating play quite well, and once again we had nothing coming through the middle, and again Conte didn't really seem to make a change in that central position till quite late on in the game. Well, so is this becoming an issue?
Well, all subs he seems to make for the most part seem to be 70th minute onwards. I think there was about the 75th minute on Saturday, which which was a bit surprising considering that the first half we were probably tactically outplayed, I think. We didn't seem to be at it. And you think you're at home against a team that, in theory, we should take 3 points off. But we always do have close games with them. It was an early kickoff that never set they've never set the football calendar alight. I thought again it was one of those we go just let's get to half time and Conte will give them the hammer and you know hopefully we'll come out second half, which that's how it transpired. What I will say is that first half they tested Hugo once, and I think in throughout the game for all their chances, as he alluded to there, they probably made him make two saves, I think, and one of those was from distance. So I think against better teams, we have to start quicker. We have to press a lot harder, a lot quicker, with a bit more energy. We go on about Emerson, don't we? We just get there. But I thought what was quite telling was when we did score, Perisic was the man who, with wing play, ran at his man. You know, dropped a shoulder, stepped over, went on the outside, won a corner. When Emerson gets it, there's nothing. There's rarely a change of pace. There's not a drop in a... he genuinely doesn't have it in his locker. And that's why I say, I don't want to be harsh on him. He's limited.
Yeah. And I thought he did okay defensively. I think he did okay defensively. And yeah, I think that's something which he does... That is part of his game, but he is more of a right back, as we know.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And I think it's not his role.
We've spoken about this, haven't we? Outside the group in the WhatsApp group, and you know, defensively, I think he's become a bit tighter. I think Conte has worked wonders with him in that area of the pitch. But going forward now, which is where we expect to, I'd much rather he just gave the ball to Kulusevski every time he's up in that area of the pitch. Give it to him and then he does do that
quite a lot, but it's just such an obvious pass to make, and it just seems like it's all very, very telegraphed, and it just seems like it's coming. So it's a frustration.
He's a very simple character, so it's got to be telegraphed. You know, that sounds harsh, but he hasn't got a trick or nothing else up his sleeve. So he's going to be easy to mark out of the game, and he's going to be easy to attack. And as Spurs fans, we need to accept that as long as he plays.
Yeah. What were your thoughts on Son's performance, Kofi? Because he again looked a bit flat. Again, he looked a bit frustrated. He didn't have a huge amount of chances, but he was coming deep, trying to get the ball. First touch was a bit off. Do you think he's... And the weird thing was, when everyone thought it would be Richarlison for Kulusevski, it was Son that made way for him late on in that game. So is this just a little bit off form? Is it a bit... fatigue. What normally this maybe happens towards the end of the season where Son is not on his game. Or do you think he's just getting into the swing of things in the new season and he's hit the ground running shortly?
I think it was interesting what you said last week, Noel, that you said he's still on pre-season. And I do wonder if the pre-season is affecting him in terms of, you know, emotionally, it was huge. To go back to South Korea, all of that adulation, to walk out as captain, you know, not just at the games or at the training sessions, but the airport, whenever they went out for dinner, you know, the crowds just wanted to see him. And that's got to take an emotional toll, you know, and that emotion can drain people. So I do wonder if that has played into his performances at the beginning of the season. But no, you're absolutely right. He was a little bit flat. There's been a couple of times when he's held onto the ball, probably wanting to try and score instead of laying it off. He's not quite on it at the moment. He's my captain in my fantasy league team, so I need him to get on it soon. And I'm keeping him in there.
That is good. I like to hear that. I put in Perisic this week, so that will undoubtedly mean that he probably won't start. And if he does start, we'll concede. And, you know, I've given him the curse. But I've taken out Kulusevski. So that would mean that Kulusevski will bag a couple. So it's all good. Let's talk about that centre midfield pairing again then, Lee, because obviously it's not creating that much. The players are the fans are getting frustrated with Højbjerg, I think, and that's not nice. But it's also it's a frustration for all of us, I think, because he is not as progressive and he's not the same player as in the Dembele type or whatever we're talking about, Zuma that we hope he might be in terms of getting that ball and running with it. A couple of times he did run with it, and he ran down the left wing, and then he just literally just hit it into touch. And it was like, where are you going? And he is a rabbit. He's like, he doesn't have the skills, and that's not necessarily his fault, but it's like, you know, when do you think, I mean, obviously we've got the rotation coming up, as I mentioned, because we are going to have the Champions League games. You know, we're going to go down to sort of the classic sort of the Saturday, Wednesday scenario. But what do you think his thoughts are on Bissouma? And do you think that will eventually happen? Because it's just frustrating, I think, for all the fans to see at the moment currently. And with that formation that we're playing, we need that creativity coming from somewhere.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. I think you're right. He runs off down the pitch, and you think, God, a player again, a bit like Emerson, had a bit more about him in an attacking sense. He could probably create something. He could probably, you know, if he didn't look like a rabbit in the headlights, he could probably stop. He's strong enough to hold the ball up and bring somebody else into play, but 20, 30 yards up the pitch, which would be amazing. Not the case. Like you said, he kind of just loses it and puts the ball out of play or will overhit a pass. And then randomly, he will go and hit one bottom corner and get you a point in a London derby. So I think he's one of Conte's soldiers. I think he's one of the guys that he actually believes in because he likes the fighters, he likes the passion. But I thought Benson Kerr had a better game. I thought he was quite, the way he shut players down, I thought he was quite tidy, forced mistakes.
I think if there's a swap,
I think it will be Bissouma for Højbjerg. And I think it's just a case of, it is a matter of time, and it is a case of bringing Bissouma, Spence, and then boys up to his kind of fitness levels that he expects and that he likes. And then I think we'll see a change.
I think there's a number of other changes that the players need to make as well, because one of the things that happened straight away in the second half was that the wing-backs played a little bit more in field. So then they're helping the guys out, because otherwise we've got two in midfield and they're getting overrun. And then also Kulusevski and Son need to get back into the midfield and help out too. So while there's only two of them sat in there, actually there's four other players on the pitch that should be helping in the midfield. And I don't think we're quite seeing that happen regularly.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, though. They're almost trying to... We want them to go wide because that's where the space is. And that's obviously why... That's the frustration, I think. I think, for me, what frustrates me about Højbjerg is when we're on the break, for example, or when there is that transition in play, it's almost like Dele Alli was when we had Alli towards the end. The breaks seem to stop with him. The breaks seem to slow down and they seem to go backwards or sideways. And it's like, that's not the time. And even Son was the same. And that was really frustrating because there was a few opportunities where it was like Son had just a guy to run at. And he was like, he sort of jogged around a little bit and then he just laid it off to Perisic. And it was like, what are you doing? Like, run. Like, where's the mindset? Where's the attacking mindset? And that's, you know, that's a frustration for me. And I think the whole big thing. I mean, we're missing out Skip as well in this, you know, quadruple people with the quartet.
I think you summarize it well. I think you summarize it quite well there in terms of the actual frustration. The genuine frustration is we have chances to move the ball on out wide into areas where we have players who can run and attack. You know, and we're quite good at counter-attacking and we have players with pace. And when it hits them, certain players, they're not moving it on quick enough, or they, you know, it's staying in this 20 by 20 in the middle of the pitch, rather than just banging it wide, getting down the line and getting towards the box. And I think from a Tottenham fan's point of view, we're used to players attacking. We're used to a flair player. We're used to a player with pace. We're used to somebody running at... Honestly, watching Perisic win that corner that we end up scoring from, it was beautiful. It was so refreshing. Yeah. Like I can't remember the last time... I know Kulusevski goes past somebody, but actually a player... In winger tradition, running at someone, doing a step over, sitting them down, and going past them. Haven't seen it in the Tottenham shirt for ages. It's almost Ginola like. It was brilliant. Yeah. That's what we're missing, and that's where the frustration is. That the boys in the middle, they're not technically good enough in an attacking capacity, but they are technically good enough to. Well, I'm not sure about Højbjerg, but pass the ball accurately for 10 to 15 yards and get it out wide. you know, and that's all we're asking. Get it out wide quicker.
Yeah, I mean, I am looking for Skip. I'm looking forward for Skip to come back, because he did have a really good few months last season before he got injured, and he was a little bit more driving than Højbjerg. He was a little bit more attack minded, a little trying to thread balls through, and he's got more pace, and he does get stuck in a little bit more, and so that should be something to look forward to. So let's talk about that Perisic performance, because obviously he was involved in the goal. Weirdly, it was a sung corner, and it wasn't the best corner, or maybe it was a planned corner. Right. I'm not so sure, but it was flicked on, and as Dave from Talking Wolves said, obviously it was a bit poor defending from Nathan Collins, who just let Kane go. Kane gave him a bit of a step forward, step to the right routine, yeah, and then basically was able to head into an empty net. But it was Perisic's sort of attacking thrust in that second half, which was the difference, and he should have scored as well when he had that. He tried to, I think, pass it maybe Højbjerg or something. And it was a perfect opportunity to shoot with his right foot, and it would have been a great goal as well. What were your thoughts on Perisic's performance, and is this sort of like the benchmark now for the wing backs in terms of sort of getting that sort of to the byline, getting the cross in as he did for that Kane header in the first half, and then just being a bit more of a threat from set pieces?
I think, you know, as Kurt said earlier on, it's like having a winger back, you know, having a Spurs player back. It feels really good. It's the sort of player where, you know, they get onto the ball and you stand up in your seat and you've got that expectation and that joy that something may happen. You can see his quality. I don't think his age is causing us or going to cause us an issue at all. You know, if he is running out there for 60, 70 minutes, that's fine, because that's enough time for him to do some damage. And yeah, he can take people on. He can play in a good ball. As you say, there was one moment when he maybe made the wrong decision and should have just had a go and shot when he got himself into the box. But otherwise, he made a real difference for us.
Yeah, my friend did mention that last season for Milan, he was substituted quite a lot around the 60, 65 minute mark. So that seemed to be the case again. I think it was 75 minutes that it happened. Yeah. This time, so that's maybe something to think about. But I thought it was a strong performance again.
It was the attacking bit with confidence, you know, something now, and that's what Sessegnon needs to learn. The way he attacked with confidence, there was no hesitation, there was no like thinking. Well, the only hesitation when he passed the ball, but the rest of it, he attacked with confidence. He looked like he wanted to run at you. He looked like he wanted to get down the line. He looked like he wanted to get in the box, and that's refreshing. That's nice to see somebody not checking back. And, you know, owning the situation.
Yeah, definitely. I think, I mean, as Conte did mention, the three games that we have played so far, we lost last season in terms of at home to Southampton, at home to Wolves, and away to Chelsea. We've got 7 points from these games. We're not in a bad state in terms of those positions, but it's just the performances, I think. And it's definitely the first half performances, which is a concern. But then again, you know, you only got to look at the Liverpool game last night, the Chelsea game on Sunday. That is some crazy stuff going on. Like, this is a really interesting season. So to be in this position that we are after three games and not playing well, I think is a decent place to be. And it can only get better. We can only click more. You know, I'm still hoping for Jed Spence to come in. I'm praying. I'm still hoping for Bissouma to start. What were your thoughts on Richarlison when he came on? I thought he was quite. Again, just gave us a little bit of different, a little bit of a sort of an attacking option on that left hand side, and it was a great little nutmeg when he did cut inside, and it was a poor finish, but it was a really good run, and a couple of times you could see that that's in his mind, isn't it? It's just like he wants to either win a corner, win the ball back, or literally get that shot on goal, which is what you want.
Yeah, he only knows one way, doesn't he? He's selfish. He's played in a team where he was the main man and he was responsible for carrying them forward with very limited support and trying to score goals and trying to do extra bits himself. So he only knows one way. And actually, he came on, he looked sharp again. He looks like he's chomping at the bit to start, you know. Yeah. But obviously, I think he's approaching it in the right way because he don't want to get on the wrong side of Conte. But he looks like he's doing all the right things. He looks like he's embraced he's embraced his current position. He looks like he's pushing for a start. And I don't think he's too far off. You know, Son looks a bit out of sorts. He looks a bit leggy. He looks like he's snatching at chances at the moment rather than, you know, he looks like just missing that bit of composure. So maybe a little bit of frustration in there. And I don't think Richarlison is far off. You know, like I say, we've got a few games coming up now. So I think he's done more than enough to say, look, you either give me a full half or you let me start a game. I think that's coming. So fair play to him.
So you think it might be Sonny Gisway and not Kulusevski, obviously?
Yeah. I know. And we wouldn't have called it. I wouldn't have gone that way before.
As Kofi said last week, the golden boot winner.
Indeed. But, he does have these little dips in the season. He does have them. So I think, as Kofi's alluded to there, it was a long pre-season for him. Not in terms of he's playing some friendlies away with Korea as well. And then he was back home. And so, yeah, it looks like it may just, he's just not sharp as the others. He doesn't look as sharp as the others, which is really un-Son-like, you know, so.
I think what's fantastic, and, you know, I was one that wasn't sure about the Richarlison transfer, is that after many, many years, we've got a striker that knows where the goal is, that is happy to take his opportunity. He knows that he's joining the club, he's going to sit on the bench to start with, but there's an opportunity to take. And we've had either someone who's been good enough but hasn't wanted to do the job, or is happy to do the job, but when they come on, they can't quite perform. And it looks like actually he's the perfect foil for the three guys that we've got up front. And I think any one of the three, in terms of off form, injured, not quite doing it, he can come on in any of those positions. So he's a great player to have. And yeah, he'll get his opportunities.
I know you're going to wrap it up, Noel. I know you're going to wrap it up. I just don't want it to go unsaid. You know, they talked about Kane's goal and his movement. It's world class movement, and it's a shit. You know, to hold the defender, to take him one way, take him back, and then lose him. He would have done that to a lot of defenders that marked him. It was world class movement, but 250 goals in a Spurs shirt can't go unnoticed.
100%, and obviously, you know, the most goals for a single Premier League club as well. So he's just gone above Sergio Aguero. So yeah, absolute stunner. Well done, Harry. Congratulations. Do you think that Conte is considering for maybe a game? I don't know if he do it against Forest, playing Kulusevski at right wing back and putting Richarlison on in his place, because he has mentioned that Kulusevski plays right wing back. I know obviously Moura came on again, but that for me would be the first team. That's probably what I would go for in terms of when you are going to dominate possession. Kulusevski is going to give you a lot more creativity, and you're still going to have that attacking outlet. Obviously, with the harder games, when you're almost playing a back five, like the Chelsea game, I wouldn't have suggested that, because obviously Kulusevski is not the best defensively, but still, I think there should be a few games where he might do that, because it just gives Richarlison, Son and Kane the chance to start together.
From what I've read, Kulusevski struggled a little bit in Italy when he was playing at right wing back, and he's a lot happier given the freedom to be playing higher up the pitch. I know that was coupled with the fact that he wasn't playing every game, so he was a bit irregular in the minutes that he was getting. But kind of in what you said, Noel, from what I've seen, he's great going forward. I'm not sure what he's like defending.
He gave away a really stupid foul in that first half. I was like, oh no, like stop that. And if Wolves have scored from it, it would have been really, really annoying. Like, it was just a stupid free kick. One of those ones where you just literally just, the player's just coming across you and he just took him down. But it was a really dangerous area. So frustration all round. So it's that time of the show where we speak to an opposition fan when we preview the upcoming weekend game. And this week we are away to Nottingham Forest. We're off to the City Ground, which is going to be a great occasion. Great to see Forest back in league. And we are joined this week by Mr. Dore from Dore on Tour. So welcome, Mr. Dore. Lovely to see you with your brilliant Forest backdrop, making us all look like complete amateurs with my flowing curtains. But how are you doing, buddy? Welcome to the show. So what's your sort of like thoughts on the current situation? What's your current situation in terms of the first three games? Because obviously, I think it was 1-1, drawn one and lost one. Not bad for a promoted club. Obviously, frustrations, I suppose, from conceding a late equaliser on Saturday at Everton. But how have you found the Premier League, being back in the Premier League, and how do you see the team performing?
First of all, thank you for having me on the show. And it's so exciting to be back in the Premier League. It's still unreal, as everyone knows the story of what happened last season. But just to be back, it's just amazing. The first three games, like I said, Newcastle, like I said, that game was like, it was unreal. Because like I said, going to big clubs like Newcastle and going to future clubs in the future, it was more of a hit. Because like I said, we thought, because as you mentioned, we brought so many signings, we thought, oh, we're going to just walk over the other teams, blah, blah, blah. But Newcastle thought, oh, okay, you think you're big guns now. And it was rude awakening. It was rude awakening, and that's what it was. And there was the better side in us. And then we had West Ham. And then, as you know, we kept buying more and more players. But that game at Celtic Ground, we beat them 2-0. I know you lot don't like West Ham, but West Ham were a good side. they were a good side. So, it was a really good performance.
What was the atmosphere like at the Celtic Ground for the home game?
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Like I said, it's been 23 years. We're playing the big boys. And the atmosphere was just mad. I'm not going to say it was like playoff. It was like the playoff semi-final second leg. Loud. But as you know, like I said, we're back in the Premier League. Everyone's so excited. And from start to finish, it was like Championship. Like I said, we wasn't that loud. But the Premier now we're back in the Premier League. Teams are going to be afraid. Now these teams are going to be afraid. So
I'm gutted that I'm not going to be there. I'm gutted I'm not going to be there, because it's going to be a great game. So let's talk about some of these signings, because there is a massive amount. I mean, what happened at the end of last season in terms of whether, I mean, obviously we've got Jed Spence now, and who was amazing for you, and we still haven't even played him yet. We got it because we think he's going to be really, really good. But what was the situation like? Why, it's very, very rare that a team buys 17 or so players. That's just a bit insane. We bought, I think, now seven, and you know, we're excited at that prospect. So what was the situation? Was it the fact that you had a lot of loan players like Jed Spence who went back to their parent clubs, and so they weren't able to obviously continue? Or did you just offload some, or did some just come to the end of their contracts? How did it transpire that you had to buy so many players all at once?
Let's keep it real. Like I said, we had to. As you mentioned, we had Spence. We had five loan players, out of contract. The players who wanted to leave altogether, it was players that left. It's 14 players. So we had to recruit people going on, like, I've heard on social media or mainstream media, we're doing a Fulham. We're not doing a Fulham. We're not doing a Fulham at all. If people know the history of why we had to, because you mentioned Spence, he's gone to Spurs. We had to get someone to replace him. We brought Nicky Williams. We had three number 10s. People mentioned we had to bring Jesse Lingard. The way Steve Cooper plays football, we had to get someone who is experienced and who knows that role so important as well. So to bring in someone like Jesse Lingard, experience with Man U, he's done it with England, he had a spell with West Ham as well. Why not? We bought Dean Henderson. Samba left. Fantastic goalkeeper. We had to bring him in. The rest of the players, I'm not going to mention all the rest of them we have.
But there's so many, and they're good players, to be fair. They're good players. Henderson, I think, is a good keeper. I think Lingard is a good addition. I think Dennis will be a good player, Emmanuel Dennis. But I think he was proven in the Premier League with a poor team. So, you know, I think that's a good striker to have. And Williams has been a revelation. I think he's been class, especially in fantasy league. He's only four million. He's been the biggest goal threat in your team. He's having loads of long shots. He's class. He's really, really good.
The point is, right, like I said, we had to get this player for each position. And like we mentioned Dennis, we lost Lewis Grabban, who was so good for us last season. We had to replace him. So with all these people saying, people need to remember, like I said, we've been in the Championship for 23 years. And with teams like Bournemouth, Norwich, Fulham, they had Premiership quality. We have players who are all together players who are worth 6 million. The other teams, like I mentioned, they cost 12 million and plus. So
yeah,
we're buying Premiership players, they're not gonna come cheap. So I know we spent like 147 million on all these players. In hindsight, we had to. So
yeah, it is what it's it a necessity. Is. No, I completely appreciate that. And I think it's something that teams have to do when they come to the Premier League. And obviously, especially if you did were in the situation that you were, where you lost a little players. So let's talk a little bit about Jed Spence, because we were all really excited when he signed. And the frustration, I think, on our side, one is that we haven't been able to see him play in a Spurs shirt properly. He did play a little bit against Rangers in a friendly. But also that obviously Conte said that it wasn't his signing, which was tainted it a little bit. And then also the fact, obviously, we've got Emerson Royal playing and Doherty are both ahead of him, it would seem, at the moment in the pecking order. But what's your thoughts on him as a player? And were you gutted to see him go?
The thing about Spence, like I said, everyone knows how he was last season with Nottingham Forest. The phrase is, you never fall in love with a lone player, because as we know, it's true though. Like he was fantastic for us, but every Forest fan knew that he wanted to go to London. Spurs was close to him. Everyone knows he's a London boy. Everyone knows the story with Middlesbrough as well. Like I said, he had an attitude problem as well, but there was little bits of saying he had issues with Forest, but we didn't see that. We saw the thing what he saw on the pitch. So. We're going to Spurs with him not playing. I know you mentioned you got Emerson Royal, you got Doherty. Listen to me, we're in the Premier League. It's not going to be so easy to get in that side, because we know, as you know, Spurs, they want to be in the top four. They want to try and win trophies, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It's not going to be easy. So I understand, I get it, why he's not starting. I understand Conte said he's not his signing, it's a club signing, but he's a person, he's raw talent. This is the problem, he's a raw talent that... He he's under a manager that's a winner. And it's going to take time for him. It's going to take time for him, but I still think Spurs have got a fantastic signing, but he needs to learn to do a few things. Don't get me wrong, he's fantastic, but it's the next level now.
There is a step up, isn't there? But at the end of the day, you know, you guys played quite a few Premier League teams in your FA Cup run as well, and you
we'll beat Arsenal
all over them.
Yeah, exactly. The watch of Arsenal. That's all that matters.
exactly. So let's talk about the game on Sunday. Obviously, as we said, it's amazing to have you guys back, and it's going to be a good atmosphere at the City Ground. With your performances that you've had so far, you've looked reasonably decent defensively. Not too crazy. I think Henderson, as we said, has been a great signing, and I think he's a really, really good keeper. So what sort of game should we expect at the City Ground from you guys? Are you going to sort of come at us and attack us, or do you think you're going to sit back? And how do you think you're going to play, obviously, against the likes of Son and Kane and Kulusevski, who obviously are quite dangerous?
Well, I've mentioned players, I'm scared already. But it's just to me, with the crowds I've got, the atmosphere is going to be mad. But we've got to be on front foot, because, like I said, Spurs, they've got quality players all around. You mentioned Kane, Son. Who can I mention as well? You've got a quality keeper, Lloris, as well. You've got a good side. So we've got to be careful. Like I said, when we played against West Ham, they had a few good chances, but Spurs are better than them. They've got better quality players than them as well. So we've got to be careful on how we do. We have got weaknesses as well. Like I said, I'm not going to tell you what the weaknesses are, but...
I'm not sure Conte listens to the show. Of course
he does. You never know. Everyone watches Spurs thing, so you never know. But Spurs, like I said, we've got a good side. We've got to be careful. Like I said, I just mentioned when we played West Ham, they've got players like Antonio, who was going for our defence. So when you mention Son, he's a good player on the wing. So we've got to be carefully as well. We've got to win that midfield battle as well. And that's so important for us, because we won the midfield battle against West Ham. When you're playing players against Rice, and we have players, someone like Mangala making his home debut. It was his first start. We thought, wow, what a player. So Mangala's got to be up against the Spurs midfield, whoever you play, to have that battle. But like I said, it's going to be a tough side. It's a free hit for us. it's a free hit. And that's how it is, because like I said, you lot are quality all around, and we've got to be careful. But it's going to be a good game, and I can't wait.
So who's going to be starting up front for you guys? Because obviously we had, is it Anyoi who obviously got the goal?
Tawai Awoniyi.
Is it going to be Dennis? Yeah. Is it going to be Dennis who's going to be playing? What's going to be your formation?
I think the formation is going to be the same as Cooper Dawes. We play 3-4-2-1-2. We brought Dennis for Watford, but the player that you've got to be wary of is Brennan Johnson. He scored against Everton on Saturday, and he's a quality player. I know Spurs were looking at him as well, and he's a quality player. We got quality around. Like I said, we brought Dennis from Watford, Tawai Awoniyi from Union Berlin. He was third top scorer in the German league. We got Jesse Lingard as well, and we're slowly getting there. I know we brought, like I said, 15 players in, but if you look on paper, we've got a good side. Will it happen on the pitch? It's still early days. And Brennan Johnson, like I said, he's the player that Spurs have got to want with his pace. And I can talk about Brennan Johnson so much, but he's a quality player.
I like Johnson. But let me just grab your attention and let's talk about Gibbs White.
I forgot about Gibbs White. See, I can't remember. Gibbs White, when he played against Forest, he scored patches every single time.
Okay.
And Steve Cooper, he played under Steve Cooper with England on 17, Swansea as well. And he's a quality player. And for him to sign to Forest for 25 million, like everyone talks about all the price, blah, blah, blah. But Steve Cooper can get the best out of him. He can play in that front three. He can play in a 4-3-3, 3-5-2, whatever you want to call it. But I personally think he's a young, I mentioned the word raw talent as well. And he's quality. And like I said, I think he can do well in the Premier League. I know everyone said he's not had a Premier League experience, but it's always, like I said, he's raw, like Spence. I think he can do it, but it will take time.
I've watched him with the England age groups, playing in various tournaments. He's a player I like. He's young, but he seems quite mature in his approach as well. So I think, when everyone's talking about the price, I was like, oh, and then you realise, you know, it's 25.
Me too.
Yeah, but it's media, isn't it? So it's 25 with all the add-ons, but 25. Yeah. For a young English player, isn't much really these days, is it? So
it's not. Like I said, for me personally, I thought we'd get it for 20 million, and that's my personal opinion. But you look at on a high scale, like I said, he's a young English talent, and these English talent are not cheap. And like I said, we mentioned Steve Cooper can get the best out of him, and I personally think he can do it. So hopefully, he scores his first goal on Sunday. It's just all the data up.
I heard over the weekend that your 11th player had made a debut, which I think is a bit of a record for the first three games. Do you think that Steve Cooper, with his FA England experience, can sort of meld teams together and is used to having lots of different players from different places?
100%. 100%. He come into the club, as you know, Chris Hughton, ex-Spurs coach, did an awful job for Nottingham Forest. Steve would come in, and the players, like I said, I was thinking about League One football now. I really was, because of the awful start we made. And he come in, and like I said, he had to work with a group. And the group that he worked with, like I said, everyone knows the story, was just amazing. And Steve Cooper, he had to bring his own players in, his own identity as well. And I think he can. I think he can. Like I said, everyone mentioned about all the 15 players that we brought in, but in hindsight, as I mentioned it, we had to do it. So I think Steve Cooper can do it. The players that you mentioned, like he started when his first signing was Dean Henderson, so he had to start from the back and move on going forward. So I personally think he can do it. He can do it. It's going to take time. It's going to take time to get all his players gel, and when we do, he's going to prove so many people doubt wrong. Especially the mainstream media, because like I said, I've seen a few people having a dig at us, but like I said, they need to know the story. Talk to our Forest fan about that myself, and then we go forward from there.
So, Lee, do you think the lineup is going to be the same on Sunday for us in terms of Perisic starting on the left, Royale starting on the right, and then sticking with the two in the centre, Holberg and Bentancur, and then obviously sticking with Kulusevski, Son and Kane up front? Do you think he will do the same team?
Yeah, I think he goes the same lineup. I think Perisic starts again. I feel like if there's any changes, it would have been maybe Son for Richarlison, but I don't think that will happen this week. I think Son will start. And I think there will be a better response, especially away from home. Like we were talking about playing at home recently, and although we've got a good record, we don't seem to start games particularly well at home at the moment, whether it's the expectation or the tension, I'm not sure. So I'm going to go with the same starting 11.
Okay, all right. And let's go to you for your first prediction then. Let's see what we're talking about here. See how confident you are, Kurtz. Go for it. What are we thinking?
You want me to kick it off, do you?
Yeah, I want to. Let's look at the league table from at the current league table and to see where we are in terms of our predictions. Last week, I went for 2-0. Did we all go for 2-0s last week? But here they are. So this is what they're currently looking like, as you can see there. So that's an interesting table to see. I'm not doing very well. Sad times. So, okay, predictions for you then, Lee. Where are we going?
I'm going to keep it relatively close. I know I watched the Forest West Ham game, and they played particularly well. There was a great atmosphere, good energy. And I think if they come at us like that, I think it will be quite similar. However, I feel like they need to score, and goals isn't their strongest point at the moment. So I'm going to go with us to take it 2-0.
2-0. Okay. All right. Kofi, over to you.
I think Forest are going to come at us. You know, it's as Mr. Dawe said, there's a bit of a free hit for them. You know, that they can just go and play. And I think at home, they'll do well. So I see them scoring, but I see us winning. So 2-1.
2-1. Oh, you guys are both taking good predictions. Okay, yeah. I mean, if Sanchez does start, and then obviously almost 8 hours of football that he's played with, they haven't conceded. Is that going to change then? I'm going to go 2-1 as well. Actually, I'm going to go 3-1. Why not? Let's just go for it. I've got to try and be different here. I'm going to go 3-1. I'm going to say that we're going to... I think it is going to be quite an expansive game, and I think that plays into our hands. And I think if Forest do come at us, as Mr. Dawe said, then I think that actually does suit us, because we are obviously a counter-attacking team. And so we will hopefully maybe get a couple of goals on the break. Richarlison to bag late on after coming on as a sub, and Son to finally get his shooting boots on. So yeah, that's going to be our predictions. Obviously, Mr. Dawe, I'm not suggesting that you are going to go for a Spurs win like us. We're stupidly confident and cocky. Just the way we are, to be fair. So what are you thinking the scoreline is going to be on? We do obviously have the... opposition fans as part of our league table, of which you will be part of. So what score are you going for on Sunday?
It's going to be tough. Like I said, you've got quality all around, man. You can't hide that. I said, I don't do score predictions until an hour before the game. I never do, but because it's Spurs, I let you lot off. I've got to say it's going to be a Spurs win. I think Spurs, I'm going to mention what Kofi just said. I think 3-1. 3-1 Spurs, because when you got players like Kane, Son, quality all around, and the way I'm a bit worried with our defence. Like I said, I don't know if you saw, Joe Worrall's been given so much stick this week, and but when you got quality players like Son running at you, if we keep him quiet, we've got a chance, but.
Well, he has been quite quiet this season so far. So
listen to me. We can't be doing that. These Spurs team, they're not going to feel sorry for us. But I've got to say 3-1 Spurs.
3-1 Spurs. Okay, you're going with my prediction as well. Lovely stuff. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Mr. Dawe. It's been an absolute pleasure to meet you. If we could just ask you to just do a little video review of the game, which we can then listen to on next week's show and respond to. But yeah, best of luck for the rest of the season, buddy. Great to have you on, and we will talk to you when you come to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium later on in the season.
Thank you for having me on. Like I said, hopefully a big win for Forest.
Nice one. Right.
Peace and love. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Strong prediction there from Mr. Dorr. So a few things to mention before we do go. We've obviously had departures this week. We have Ndombele and Lo Celso leave the club on loan. And then we also have signing who's returned to their parent club, which is Udogi. Udogi is how you pronounce his name. He looks really good. I'm really, really excited to see him. More competition, obviously, on that left-hand side. And obviously someone else to maybe learn from Perisic. And obviously give Sessegnon that bit more pressure, I think. So are you happy to finally see Lo Celso and Ndombele out the door, Kofi? And do you think that obviously in terms of the wages, that's a big thing to get them out. And in terms of the foreign player limit that we have within the squad. But and I suppose it's really just Winks remaining, isn't it? And Brian Hill, if Brian Hill does head off this week, as mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, it's good, but it's not easy to say because it's a frustration. You know, I know that Ndombele didn't have a great season in France either last season, but the frustration is he's got all the skills. He's got everything that a baller could want, but it's just delivery. Come on, you know, and that effort. So yeah, it's good that we're not paying their wages. They're going to get some football and they're not at the club, because that thing that we've heard in the press of the four guys training away from the other team, it's not good for the spirit of the squad. If you look over to the other pictures and there's players, it's just not a good thing. So it's a good thing that they've gone, but said with a heavy heart, because there's still a frustration in there of what could have been.
So now it's remaining. It's obviously just Winks and Reguilón, isn't it? Now, and Reguilón, they're talking about maybe even going to Forest, adding to their plethora of signings. And obviously, Winks is still around, which is sad to see. I mean, on LA's situation, it's so frustrating, as you said, because he's so class, he's so talented, but it was just that application, wasn't it, Lee, which we found so frustrating.
Mind-boggling, because I think every Tottenham fan that's seen him play in the flesh as well as on the telly, you go, his ability was there for all to see. And how you just don't apply yourself. Like, what more would you want? You're actually living the dream. You know, you're living millions of people's dreams, and you're talented with it. You're making ridiculous amounts of money. You're playing on the best pitches week in, week out. And you just go, nah, not today. You know, I think it was last season, the game at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium against Chelsea, and he was on the floor like with 5 minutes to go before half time, you know, almost like he had cramp, and that was it. There's no coming back from that. I think the fans were pretty much turned on him there and then. But as Kofi said there, I hate the fact that you hear it at other clubs, but I hate the fact that we would have 3, 4, 5 players training away from the first team. I don't like that. I don't like that within football clubs anyway. I don't like that as a setup. I feel like it's a real division within the squad, and it has to be managed really, really well and really delicately, because people have friends in there. You know, people have grown up there for a long time. I'm delighted to see the two go, because I don't think they gave what they could give us. And, you know, as a fan, you've got to feel a little bit robbed by that. And I'm gutted for Winks, because he's one of our own. And I feel like the change in management, the change in style of football, the change in positions, he just never found his first team feet. You know, Poch liked him. But listen, I hope he goes, and I hope he stays in the Prem. And I hope he finds somewhere, you know, whether it's a mid-table side, that play a bit of football, and he can show that actually the stuff that made him an England player. And I genuinely hope he goes on and does that. And Reggie, you know, once he gets his ADHD sorted, he's a solid left back. You know, a little bit more composure when he's flying down the line, and it just hasn't worked out. He doesn't have the composure. But what's good for Reggie is good for Emerson. Just saying. So,
and a word on Udogi. Obviously, did good stats in the Serie A last season, and obviously gone back to Atlanta, I think. But obviously, Patrici or and Conte both wanted him. It was someone who they sort of have scouted and discussed, and he looks like he's got some good skill set.
Yeah, life after Perisic, moving towards there. You say we'll have three players down that side of the pitch now as well, and in our current setup in our current time, you'd have all three of them. So, Perisic gets through this season, get us through next season, Sessegnon with that experience, and then Udogi to come in after that. A little bit of continuity, you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with that. So, I hope he has a good season there, and I hope he comes in and joins us and shows what he can do with us as well.
That makes me feel, that there's future in Conte being at the club. I don't want to say too much.
That is true.
The guy seems to be planning ahead as opposed to, I'm here for 2 years and that's it.
Yeah. I think he'll be here for a while. I think he's liking what he's seeing, the progress, and he's making it his own, to be fair. And that's what he's wanted and he needed. And
he made Levy stick his hand in his pocket, so he likes it.
Well, he called him out, didn't he? And I think as we said in the beginning of the first podcast, it was like he was gonna, it was gonna go one way this season. It was either, Levy was gonna have to do that, or the fans were just going to go absolutely mental, because obviously Conte is one of the best coaches, if not the best coach I've had in a very long time. So it's like, this is the opportunity now and he should be listened to, and when he started slating the players that were bought, that was the time. That was the sign when he was saying we've got two in, but it was like the difference in quality and why they sold him. And that was a killer press conference. Levy must have been watching that literally just like head in hands. And then hand in pocket, head in hands, hand in pocket, basically. But yeah, it has worked. So
it worked.
I think the sad thing is that Poch wasn't really given the same amount of trust or money, to be fair. And I think that is a sad thing. But maybe he didn't have the same tactical nous as Conte does, or definitely experience with winning. So interesting. Time will tell. So, thank you, gents, once again, for having you on. And apologies if there were any internet issues my side. I will hopefully be at a better place to record next week. Thank you to Dave from Talking Wolves, who obviously sent in his video review. Thank you to Mr. Dore from Dore on Tour podcast, the Nottingham Forest fan there, who is very entertaining. And we wish them all the well. We wish them all the best this season. So good stuff, guys. Thanks for coming on once again. And fingers crossed we get another 3 points on Sunday. And as always, come on, you Spurs.